Hello.
Check 1, 2. Testing 1, 2. This is Mr. Nobody. Podcast number 12. 12 o'clock. 12 apostles.
Hello.
Pantheon of 12 Sumerian gods. 12. I met a mathematician who said that the dodecic system of math was far superior to anything else. 12 hours, divisible in a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
1, 2, check 1, 2, 12. Yeah. There's a pandemic going on. Yeah. And yeah. I've been holed up in my apartment. I've been managing to exercise, read, practice, compose. I feel pretty slutty in a good way. Those are my favorite things to do.
Hello.
We can't be kept from our favorite things. Some of our favorite things are very secret and private. In fact, I think that there's probably a list of favorite things that you have, that I have,
yeah,
that are on the private list, and then a set of favorite things that are on the more public list. Just talking about your very private pleasures, things that you like to do, that you're gonna do, given the chance, or that you'll make the chance, because those are the things that drive you. I personally think it's very important for every person to analyze and uncover, excavate the truth about themselves. You're down here riding on this life. You're the rider.
You're the rider.
And your body
rider,
is the ride.
You're the rider. You're the rider.
Your life, your history, your connections, your family, your moments. That's the ride. I discovered this interpretation of existence really from the moment I got that phone call telling me that my son was deceased. My brain scrambled.
Hello.
On one hand, I had to take in the information because there was a cop on the other end just laying it out for me. There wasn't much room for denial. There was a lot of room for truth. Pure truth. You know that word, prima facie? I should look it up. Just to paraphrase it, its meaning, it means that on its face, you see it for what it is. And although we're often told contradictory things or seemingly contradictory things, like you can't judge a book by its cover, we often can. Sometimes the way something looks is the way it is. It doesn't go much deeper because the depth is already there. When I was grasping the meaning of my son's death in those few moments, I really felt how all existence, everything that inhabits a period of time, and I don't even know if it includes rocks or not.
Yeah.
Trying not to overthink it, because when we overthink things, we often invent religions. because we have to explain them, so we start adding
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But there was a truth about life.
All right.
Yeah. Or about existence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't coming from the outside, it was coming from the inside.
Yeah.
And exploding out. And maybe, not to get too metaphysical, but there was no inside or outside. The nature of existence or existence was not held within any kind of permeable object or body definition. But I did receive from myself or from the universe, which was clear that I was
a
flame.
A flame.
We're flames.
A flame.
Burning from that fire.
Flame.
And we feel like we're, our little flicker is independent, but it's not. It's just a fire flickering.
Hello.
So I felt that fire that connected all
fire.
Of us.
Fire.
Or
fire.
That we are all flickers of. That was one element. And then the other thing, although it's the same thing, is that we are riders. That flame is riding upon our identities, our existence.
Hello.
Our particular lives, whatever they might be. An armadillo, a gorilla, a snail, a moth, a human.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to be other animals, except maybe my cat, with whom I have interspecies communication with.
I know I do.
But to be a human is a very interesting ride.
Yeah.
Because you get to live a long time compared to other animals. At least these days you do. In the past, you were lucky if you lived to 30 or 25. But these days, you get to come up from an animal, from being born just a straight-up animal. And you're given the possibility of this tradition of thought, if you learn to read,
I suppose.
There's some countries where they,
because of their ideologies,
they prevent the illumination of the mind through reading, a kind of genocide.
I suppose.
Maybe you could be so caught up in knowledge and information that you lose contact with your animal self. So perhaps a balance between your animal self and your intellectual cultivated self. That's a better
word.
To be cultivated, to grow yourself.
Hello.
It should be with the help of your parents initially. And if your parents suck, you know, you're going to have a harder time. Although my father was intellectual, he was also highly irrational, ideological. His brains were all scrambled with religion and guilt.
Secrets.
I know he had secrets that troubled him.
Secrets.
I just don't know what they are.
Secrets.
His ride was not so easy early on.
Secrets.
You only have secrets because you enjoy doing what those secrets are. And unfortunately for a lot of people, those secrets are getting fucked up. Probably sex. I don't think there's a problem with sex per se, but there sometimes is a problem with being overly obsessed with
it
to a point where it's identifying. It's central to your motivations.
Destructive.
Society can't control the animal. Marriage and relationship, social mores. It still doesn't control the animal inside of us. We're still going to drive fast. We're going to fuck what we want to fuck or get high as often as possible, eat the thing that we want to eat, and kill the thing that we want to kill. Unless we control ourselves. Only the animal can control those things. And it's interesting. It kind of comes down to the individual. How much havoc are you willing to cause because you can't control yourself? I respect the animal inside of me, the animal that I am, But if I just let it run the show, I'm the one who'd be fucked. And you, and society. And there has been times in my life, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm worse in many ways. That I couldn't control my hunger, my appetites, my animal. It took me a while to kind of cultivate better ways of doing it that weren't destructive to everybody around me and myself. It's interesting. I don't know if I've ever revealed that about myself out loud. But somehow speaking out loud is the way that we dispel a lot of the power that these urges, these impulses have over us. About getting high. I loved getting high, particularly on marijuana. And I never thought I'd lose the taste for it, the urge. I quit for a number of years. And then I found a bud under a couch in my house. And obviously it belonged to my son and his friends, who were probably like 15 or 16 at the time. And I started smoking again. And initially it was really great. And when I say initially, I mean, I don't know, for a month. It dumbed me down, just straight up. You know, my ability to use my mind to find the truth of things. And it slows your body down, your lungs down. And then it becomes coupled, at least for me, like weed became coupled with things, like sex, or drinking, or playing music. Things. I'd smoke all the time, so maybe it's just, if you're doing it a lot. At least I was. To find a big waste of time. Like, how can you live constantly high at your best? And the answer is, you cannot.
To find the truth of things.
And I know weed smokers who just straight up fucking lie about this. They're like, yeah, it's good for you.
Lying.
Shrinks tumors. I'm like, where's your fucking tumor?
Your tumor is coming.
It isn't here yet. Tumor. The only tumor that you're shrinking is your brain. You're just, I was just maintaining a certain habit. Because it wasn't like that bud I found under the couch. When I smoked it, I just went, woo. I'm like, I'm going to play guitar all night. Which, by the way, I did. That night, I played my guitar till like 4 or 5 in the morning. As long as that bud lasted. All my emotions were colorful, marveling at what have you, six strings. But I did not produce anything of value. And here's the thing. Weed is fun. You think it's going to make you more creative and more in touch with your emotions. And maybe even able to release some of the repression that you have. But it doesn't. No drugs do. They block you. They stop you. It is my experience that the more I chased after an artificial inspiration or inspiration enhancer, the more it took me the other direction. How do I know this? Because I'd listen back to what I made the night before. Unusable. largely unusable shit. But when I finally gained some control over my animal, I noticed how much productive work there was. The happiest or the most high I've ever been was not when I was on some artificial substance, either ideological or chemical, but just let my biology fuck alone.
Hello.
Stop injecting it with artificial shit. And you could say, yeah, pot is natural. Arsenic is natural. There's a lot of poisons that are natural. Why don't you lick fucking tarantulas? They're natural. So drugs disconnect us. Being on a jag disconnects us. Running after something to repeat an experience. Instead of cultivating your animal, disconnects us. It disconnects us from one another. It disconnects us from nature, and therefore ourselves, because we're just nature. So here we are, fucking animals, running around, jabbing shit into our body, squirting poisons into our body to get high so that we feel, I don't know, better. It's fucking ridiculous. It's like the zombie apocalypse. Where was I? Addicted to something, it's driving. It's taking the ride. And your rider, you, the rider, has been hijacked by whatever substance you have allowed, like a vampire, into your home. Got to think that you junkies out there feel really empowered right before you shoot up, and then as you're getting high, it's like, yeah, but right after, it's like, oh shit, I suck all over again, just like I felt, maybe to a little lesser degree, as a cigarette smoker, as a fucking boozer, and as a pothead. Those things ruled me, man. They ruled my life. I wasn't really making the music I could have. I wasn't exercising, and I was not cultivating my intellect. Because that shit dumbs you down. And not just for when you're doing it, but, you know, all the time, because it's just in your system. You don't really need it. You just think you need it. That's a good point. You think you need it. You think your life is so shitty that you deserve to medicate. After my son died, I allowed myself to drink alcohol. And more people die from alcohol than any of these other bullshit drugs. Heroin, meth, crack, whatever. Whatever. Alcohol whatever. Is what whatever. Kills more people whatever. Than any other whatever. Drug, because that's what whatever. It is. It's a drug whatever. And a whatever. Behavior. It's a behavior. It's a alcoholism behavior. Is not like something out there. It's a behavior.
It's a behavior.
Just like drug use. It's not something out there, like catching a virus or the fucking plague. It's a behavior that starts in your mind. I know my son thought this out, sort of. Not enough. You're not going to kill pain. You're gonna make pain. But I drank to kill the pain, which it did not do. The pain is still here, and a big part of the pain is living with the knowledge that my son my own flesh and blood, someone I considered a mirror, bought into this shit, into this bullshit that somehow mainlining fentanyl or whatever fucked up bullshit you're buying off the street, because drug dealers are murderers. They don't give a fuck about you. You're just a piece of meat to them. You're just a meal ticket, a way for them to have sex and get your fucking money. And fuck you. That's all you are to them. A worm. A number. That whole enterprise is so amoral. Uncultivated. No art. No life. So all these addictions, riding this artificial, chemically induced fuckfest straight into the dirt. Let's not lie to each other. I want to talk to you like I would talk to my son if he was alive. With love. With real compassion. With your pain. Son, don't buy into this fucking bullshit where you're getting used and you're just gonna kill everything. All the life you could have had, all the love you could have had. My son was falling in love with this beautiful girl. This is bullshit. All the gateway drugs, all the addiction behavior. We only do it because we think it's gonna lessen the pain and dull it out. And it dulls you out. It dulls out your intellect, your motor nerves, and your connection to yourself, to nature, to life. It breaks my heart. I feel my heart broken. I'm trying to overlap the pieces and sew them together with some honesty and just get out of my way and let it come. Try to reach my son back through time and say, don't. And not for me, but because you know what's better. If I could go backwards through time, I would tell my son that this is what you're leaving behind. You're not gonna hover over this. You're not gonna live in some fucking paradise. You're just gonna leave behind a heartbroken world that will move on without you. But it won't be a better world. It'll be one more empty of the possibilities you took away from it with your choices. With your choices.
With your choices.
I'm your father.
I'm your father.
Is this what you want? I hope I can die with some dignity and some love for you, still intact.
I'm your father.
But your actions, playing with these bullshit fucking drugs, it's a foul. It's wrong. It robbed me of a piece of my life. I can't put it back together. My music is horribly sad now. I almost quit playing because I felt like if you were gonna give up and quit your life, why should I go on? For who? And for what? And meanwhile, thousands are gonna fucking die today. Not by shooting this bullshit up, but by starting. That's when you die. How could you do that? I thought I knew you. How much pain can you allow yourself to think you have to take away your own life? I don't get it. I was sexually abused and had a fucking truckload of excuses. Fuck that. If your parents suck and they're shitty people, don't lie to yourself about that. Get away from them. If your friends are enabling you and dragging you down into this abyss, this hell, get away from them. The drug dealers, they should not be allowed to operate. They're the enemies of society, of cultivation. There is no artful drug dealer out there. They're fucking murderers and users, and you're their target. I spiral in and out, to the deepest feelings of love, and then back out into my anger and my hatred. It's one circle. No beginning, no end. You don't have a fucking disease. You're committing yourself to this behavior, but this is what you have as a result. Destroyed lives. I used to be somebody, son. Not anymore. Just like you. Not anymore. No more prayers, no more fucking benches or memorials. Nothing. Nobody. That's it for today. Mr. Nobody. Over and out. Mr. Nobody. Over and out.
Giving it your all.
our skin began to crawl. Don't roll your eyes about.